Alright, hello, and welcome to Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm back from TFCon. I'm David.
Yay! And next year.
And today?
Yes, next year.
Yes.
Next year you're both coming.
Yes. I will attempt to avoid any major family entanglements.
But the last 2 years you've had... Well, this year was dog sitting and nephew sitting or something. You had something last year.
Yeah,
just,
had a thing last year.
Just tell them ahead of time.
Okay.
Let me have this weekend.
Okay.
This is why I don't have family. Well, I am happy for myself that I have just finished paying off my car payment. So that is money that can now go towards a convention trip.
Mm. Yeah. Well, also next year is the 30th anniversary of Beast Wars.
Oh, that's
right.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something.
Well, I think what I'm going to be doing is...
In the wind? And
yeah, I'm just going to crumble the dust like Starscream in Transformers the movie.
Yes.
I mean, sure, yes, we will do that too. But crazy thought was maybe we'll try to put together a panel.
Oh, God.
It was bad enough... when, like, big deal albums that I listened to in high school were getting, like, 25th anniversary or 30th anniversary remasters that also made me dry up and blow away in the wind. But this, like, Beast Wars started after I was, like, that was the year I graduated high school.
Yeah, well, we started this podcast because of a Beast Wars anniversary.
Yes. Well, I mean,
I can't be this old.
This podcast is going to be 10 years old next year.
I can't be this old.
I mean, the thing that really got me was that, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they had the big Star Wars 20th anniversary. And, oh, man, Star Wars, you know, 20 years, that was so long ago. Yeah. And, you know, we had the special editions. And then we had the 20th anniversary of the special editions.
Yes.
And that was now almost 10 years ago themselves.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
That's cool. I don't need to be young. I'll just be old. I'll just be a weird old person. I made a comment on Mastodon that the thing about Mastodon is that it seems to consist primarily of fundamentally serious old people and fundamentally unserious young people. And so it's a little awkward for me as a fundamentally unserious old people.
Yeah, there are young people there? I guess there are.
Who do you think is on all the furry servers?
Yeah. Well, furries, it spreads out. There's old furs. Well, I don't know if the old furs have moved off of Twitter, because there's still a shitload there.
I think the old furries might still be posting on, like, Usenet.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Just like the old Transformers fandom people.
I don't know if that still works anymore.
Dave Van Domelen, old-time Transformers fandom person, made a post on Facebook this past week about, like, being eligible for a senior discount. And that's not okay.
No, it's not, because we're getting there soon.
Well, maybe you two are.
Well, yes.
I bought a house. I had to drop everything today and go buy a new lawnmower.
Oh. Yeah, that's always a serious thing to do.
It's adult stuff. Well, I tried to get by with just a weed whacker, and it didn't want to start because I got a gas-powered one, and that was a mistake.
Oh, yeah, no, you weed whacker, you want electric, because you're not going that far away from the damn house to weed whack.
Speaking of being very young...
That's right, it's time to catch up with the disaster children of Rescue Bots Academy.
Yay.
And yet, for
kids.
Once, this disaster is not their fault.
Yeah! No. It's not even their fault this time.
So this is the 41st episode of Rescue Bots Academy. We are getting... Well, we're past the halfway mark. We've got about 10-ish episodes left before the end of the season.
Ooh. That's so many episodes.
I know. This first aired March 2nd, 2019. And written by our old Rescue Bots pal, Brian Holfeld.
Also, as an aside, so I have been watching these on the Transformer Channel's official uploads. Mm-hmm. They have inserted so many 15-second Cyberworld spots that I ended up just dropping everything and plugging it into Stasher and just downloading the entire series. Because, please, I do not need every 2 minutes to be reminded to go watch Cyberworld.
Plus, I already watched Cyberworld. Stop bothering me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, here's the funny thing. Like, normally ads on YouTube suck so much ass. I was at TFCon watching the first episode of Cyberworld. The ads were ads for Cyberworld. Those are the only ads they gave.
It's ridiculous. I'm watching it. Please.
It's like when you go to the movies and it's like Nicole Kidman telling you about, you know, magic of the movies. And it's like, I already believe you, Nicole Kidman. I'm at the movies. Anyway, so we the Academy teachers, Heatwave and Boulder, they've come back from a space mission. They've gone off in the Sigma, and they've got a bunch of rock samples from an asteroid.
I just want to say that I do not appreciate how children these days have decided that Sigma is a slang term that they're going to use, and now that every time that we mention it in the show, I have to be annoyed at Gen Alpha.
I haven't figured out if it's good or bad.
It's hard to say because it seems to be kind of mocking the whole,
It built off the Alpha, Omega, Beta nonsense.
Right, so that means it should be bad, but it seems to be good?
Yeah.
It built off of the manosphere thing about Alpha men and Beta men, and then there are Sigma men who are really cool, but they're loners. And it seems to have started out ironically.
Yeah.
But now... I don't know where the maybe, fuck it is. I don't know. All I know is that my sister informed me that the other day my 13-year-old nephew responded to something in Mario Kart by saying that he was skibbity screwed. And I may have to disown him.
Yeah. Hopefully that was used ironically?
Probably. I don't know. He's a huge nerd.
It's like that Simpsons episode. Are you being sarcastic? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Hotshot, because he's a child easily distracted by things that are shiny, really likes this one glowing rock. So
it is a pretty cool looking rock.
So Heatwave was just going to put his rocks in his office, and then the Roots just got to keep kung fu fighting Tough Luck Chuck.
Yes, because they are doing martial arts training.
Chuck, he was just born to dance.
Hoist tries his best to program him to do kung fu fighting, but he just wants to dance.
Yes. But then, somebody has taken one of the rocks. And by someone, it means probably Hotshot.
According to everyone.
Yes.
Poor Hotshot.
And so, hey... if you put it back in Hotshot's office by the end of the day, we're just going to forget this all happened. So Wedge, of course, because he is, you know, one of the more level-minded members of the crew, but also the one who hates Hotshot the most, thinks that Hotshot took it.
Yes, just immediately.
So Hotshot does indeed deny doing it. World thinks that he's... World believes him. Wedge does not. And sure enough, he finds this rock right by Hotshot's cube stuff.
Also, I realize that this is a show made for children, so I'm not exceptionally, I called the twist right at the start.
Well, yes.
But as soon as someone said it's not like it could have walked off on its own, I was like, I bet it walked off on its own.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, this is Baby's first sentient rock episode.
Because it wasn't a rock. It was a rock monster. No.
Yes.
I wish it was a lobster.
It's a rock lord!
It is rock lord adjacent.
I mean, when we actually see it, it basically looks like... does anybody remember that show Bump in the Night?
No.
No? It kind of like... it reminds me of something out of Real Monsters. Yeah.
It was like a stop-motion animated show that was on ABC Saturday mornings for a year. And it was about this green monster that lived under a kid's bed. And it basically looked like this, and it talked like Jim Cummings.
Cool.
And its best friend was an extremely Rob Paulson-y blob monster.
Oh. So what you're saying is this was from the 90s.
This was from the 90s, yes.
I don't remember that being a whole show. I thought that was like a between other shows segment thing.
I think they also used those characters in the between show segments because, for whatever reason, ABC always had the best in-between show boppers. After these messages, we'll be right back.
They were pretty good.
Yeah, these probably grew out of whoever produced those.
We loved the stop motion in the 90s. Anyway, so Medix sees Wedge with this rock and thinks that he is actually trying to frame Hotshot.
We are making things overly complicated at this point, as our chaos children tend to do.
And then the rock is gone. So now they both think that maybe Hotshot has stolen it, but Hotshot still does not have this rock. So they finally find this thing in the ground bridge, and Hotshot goes for it, and then, yeah, it sprouts legs and a couple of little eye stalks and just vamooses.
Yeah. It's adorable that, like, it has hair because it has moss growing on it.
Yes.
Yes, and, like, a little leaf.
Yeah.
So it ends up in Whirl's locker, and we see that Whirl's locker has a picture of the other Wedge, or the other Whirl.
Oh, yes! On the outside of the locker, there's a drawing of her and other Whirl.
Clearly there, but we never get, like, a clear look at it. There's never a close-up of it to get, like, it in HD.
No.
But it's definitely there.
Which, this is one of those things that, as Hermes Conrad would say, only raises further questions.
Well, in the production design of this, like, originally Whirl in this show was maybe going to look more like Whirl from IDW.
So I guess the question is this like...
Or at least, like, she was going to have a mono eye, maybe.
Is she, like, Whirl Jr.?
Maybe Whirl is just, like, he's got big, crazy uncle energy.
Yeah.
Maybe she was named after her crazy uncle. After her uncle. Yeah.
Like, it's a real James Bond Jr. situation.
Yeah.
Although, I've always suspected that the whole Uncle James thing was meant to cover up one of his numerous bastard children.
Well, yes.
Because, of course, James Bond, famously an only child and an orphan. So he cannot have a nephew unless it's a real uncle kind of thing.
Quote, uncle.
Does that still happen in cartoons? Where you get an Uncle Scrooge out of nowhere?
There was that cartoon a couple of years ago. Wasn't it called Uncle Grandpa or something?
Yeah, but that was...
I have no idea what that was about.
I mean, I don't know what it was about either. I assumed there was an uncle and there was a grandfather.
No, they were...
Possibly they were the same guy.
Same
also,
guy.
Weird Al was on it?
Yeah, it was definitely like one of those Cartoon Network, like, really avant-garde kind of shows.
Is this like a... like a Robert Heinlein situation?
I do not know.
No, I don't think it involved zombies or whatever.
According to Wikipedia, Uncle Grandpa is a magical shape-shifting humanoid that drops by children's houses every day to see how they are doing.
I see. So...
And then he helps them through a series of chaotic and surreal misadventures. So he appears to not actually be an uncle or a grandpa.
But he's just sort of like an uncle or a grandpa, but a... chaotic eldritch abomination.
Yes.
That's helpful.
I really need to watch Gravity Falls, but I think Stan is like a great uncle because they call him Grunkle, which I assume is great uncle.
Yeah, Grunkle Stan. Yeah. Yeah, that's another. There's so many little shows that I hear about that are really good, and that's near the top of the list of, I should get around to watching that someday.
Yeah, I think that's on Disney Plus. I always get it confused with the regular show, which I think that's the one with the Blue Jay.
Yeah,
yes,
the Blue Jay
and the raccoon that that was actually my old ferret Rigby was actually named after the raccoon from regular show because he was a bandit.
Yeah.
That was a really good show. And not just because it featured the touch in an episode. It was already good before that.
So anyway, they chase this thing down. They realize that it's only running away because they're chasing it, much like a frightened kitten.
Yes, I was watching this, and I was like, this is how you have to approach shy kittens.
So they are able to calm it down and then get it back into Heatwave's office. And so he's all, I don't believe any of this. And then, so the rank has eyeballs.
He refuses to believe them. He's like, look, I said I didn't want to know any details. I got the rock back. It's fine. And they're like, no, but seriously, you should probably know that that's actually a life form.
And indeed, so he takes it back to its asteroid home.
Yay!
So, that was a fun one. I really do like the rock alien character design here.
Ooh. It's like the potato people. Like, I really enjoy when we get aliens in this show, because they're always, like, fun.
Yes.
And it's a good little reminder of the wider universe in the setting.
But there will be no aliens to be found in our next episode, Who's Teaching Who?
Only terrible ideas.
Who made who learn what?
No aliens, only bad ideas.
There is no evil green goblin truck in this one.
Aw.
But there is tonight on Monsterdon!
That is tonight's Monsterdon movie?
Yes!
The first and last movie directed by Stephen King.
That's right. Have you guys seen it before?
Jen, have you?
I have, but only as, basic cable edits.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure I've seen it unedited, but what is there to edit?
I mean, there's some gore.
Yes?
There's a...
Stephen King gets killed by a vending machine or something?
No, it's... Stephen King does not get killed. He's at an ATM that is calling him an asshole. Which I think they may have also edited for basic cable.
Yeah, then. I mean, these days, who even knows? I think you can get away with anything short of an F-bomb. But back then, if it was going to be on TBS, you had to get out the even basic swears.
And there's some gore, but, as far as nudity goes, there's a shocking amount of restraint given that it's Stephen King. Anyway.
Maybe it's easier for him to write about that kind of thing than actually tell a woman she's got to take her top off. Like, he seems like he's a nice enough guy in person that I could see him, feeling bad about that.
Well, the thing is, that's regular Stephen King, though. This movie was directed by cocaine Stephen King.
I mean, fair, but...
Full on, he doesn't remember directing the movie Stephen King.
The important thing is, he has been married to the same woman since, the mid-70s, so he doesn't seem like a guy who feels comfortable going around and ordering women to disrobe.
This is true. I mean, the most memorable nudity I can think of from a Stephen King movie is from The Shining, which is not really of the titillating variety.
No?
I mean, it is. It's just...
Well, it is until it isn't.
I mean, the one I'm thinking of is a painting.
Oh, no. I'm thinking about the bathtub.
Okay. Bathtub. I was thinking
Not Scatman Crothers' choice of decor.
Anyway, that's a not in the book. I'm pretty sure that's not explicitly mentioned in the book. I think that's just Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah. I can't remember if Halloran is... I think he's a white guy in the book.
No.
He's black.
Oh, he's not? Okay.
He has always been a very clear example of the magical Negro trope.
Which King used...
This is true.
...too much, but... I mean, his heart was in the bright place, but he fucked up that a lot.
It's definitely in The Green Mile, too, which is unfortunate. Because, again, that's a really good performance from Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Who's Teaching Who? First aired September 7th, 2019. Written by Danny Stack. Last seen in these parts. Directing Big Small Rescue. The one with where they're trying to rescue that tiny plant person.
Aw, that's a good one.
Oh, and then he also did Trick or Treat, so I don't know if we can credit him with the Fist of the North Star reference.
Yes, I don't know if that would have been in the script. That feels like something the animators would have stuck in, or the director, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I mean, I guess somebody had to come up with like a character design for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that probably would have been...
Probably an artist.
Whoever's in charge of the thumbnails or whatever for the storyboards. That's it.
Storyboards, yeah. Just, you know, make some character design for hot guys in Halloween costumes. Don't get a suit. All right, so we open with a plane crash in the Amazon. But it is just a video.
Yes.
So, you know, he will leave and Cody, they want to talk about rescues, but it's like one of those, like, days in class where it's like June, and it's like 2 weeks away from the end of school, and it's, the school's not air-conditioned, and your sweaty limbs are just glued to your desk.
Nobody wants to be here and learning today.
No, or teaching.
But Hoist has made a very clever little flipbook bit of animation.
Medics is only not interested in the lesson because he has read the manual 3 times.
Yes.
And has assumed everyone else has.
Yes.
2?
So he was like, well, all right then, why don't you guys teach?
Which, another fun idea for an episode.
Yes.
It goes places, but it could have gone way further.
So, yeah, so he's, so Hotshot's trying to demonstrate rescue, and it does not go well because, again, it is Hotshot.
It does involve being out on the sports field.
Yes.
Of course.
And the medic's trying, or Whirl's trying to teach him about transforming. Is she the one who says, I'm in character and I've decided that I'm bad at names?
Yes. Yes. She calls Heatwave Microwave, and then she says Cody's name properly, and Heatwave calls her on it, and she says not to... question the routine, and then she calls Heatwave Heat Pad because she's in character, and her character is a teacher who isn't good with names.
And then Hoist is going to have medics demonstrate some fancy driving, complete with a bunch of freshly painted signs, which are then totally obscured by a sudden monsoon of rain. And so Maddox becomes very confused and almost totally pancakes Tough Luck Chuck.
But today he is Good Luck Chuck.
And meanwhile, Maddox, he's just, you know, this is going to involve book learning because that is how he does things.
Yes. There's a test with a question, and the question is in the manual.
Yes. Unfortunately, they're out of time.
Look, I can't question it. I personally enjoy a good manual myself.
I always read. My family always has me present when they're like putting something new together or operating something new because I'm the only one who ever reads the instruction manual.
Nice.
I was always that guy who read the booklet in the video games too.
Yes. So fun fact: I got a Switch 2, which may have come up. I think it came up in the news pod. And I have been going on a little binge. And I picked up, it was Rune Factory Guardians of Azima, and that came with a little booklet.
Oh, I didn't think they even came with booklets anymore.
It did, and also Cyberpunk 2077 came with stickers.
Ooh. Stickers!
It came with a little sheet of stickers. So,
boy, they
We are returning.
Somehow Feely's returned.
Yeah. But yes, I was very excited that in the little Switch game case, there was a little... It's, like, small because it's only got so much room in there. But there's a little manual that's got, like, a calendar that you can make notes on because it's basically a Harvest Moon kind of game. Mm. And it's got, like, all the different characters. And, yeah, that was pretty exciting. I found it exciting because, once again, I am a person who enjoys a good manual.
And then Wedge is going to tell everybody how to do human first aid, but it is not going so well with Tough Luck Chuck.
No.
And also, I'm not sure, I did watch this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not sure where this note came from, but I do not recall who utters the quote, "No juice pop is worth this kind of danger, not even grape."
That is Jerry once we get out into the field.
Oh,
right.
Okay, because indeed, we have got to, we've got another disaster in the ever-danger-prone Griffin Rock, and it is a rock slide.
Yep. There's a road that is out. There's a tree across it. I can relate. It's rainy where I am.
Before we get too far away from the car crash test course, how was there not a punchline of Tough Luck Chuck getting hit by lightning? Like, it was raining heavy.
He did a cone dropped on his head, and then he stumbled into a signpost, but he did not then get... Maybe that just seemed a little too intense for the kids.
Yes.
The cone falling on him, I could have sworn that felt like that should have been lightning right there. He'll be fine. He's got Cybertronian tech in it.
That's the whole point of him. He'll be fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a rock slide, and it looks like there are more rocks that are coming down, so they set up a detour around this dangerous area. But here comes Jerry... Griffin Rock's most accident-prone commercial vehicle operator.
Hey, he says that he is a great driver in this episode as he decides to plow on through.
Is he?
No,
like,
no, he's not.
In a lot of previous episodes, it seemed like half the time, like, whatever accident's going on, it's not his fault at all. It's just shit what happens on Griffin Rock.
No.
This time was 110% his fault.
Well, at least this time he doesn't have, like, a truckload full of, like, explosive poison or, like, piranhas that shoot acid.
It's just an ice cream truck this time.
Or, like, I don't know, airborne hantavirus. Oof. If there's something that will kill the entire population of Griffin Rock, this man is trucking it.
Maybe he...
Oh, so these ice pops have food poisoning in them.
Now I'm curious if you have to get, like, a specific thing for your CDL to qualify you for hazardous material, and maybe that got revoked.
I assume there must be, like, a little course you take, at least.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if that's part of the CDL, like, if the CDL covers it, or if that's, like, an extra add-on.
I'm not sure. I will.
I should look that up someday.
I have a brother-in-law in construction. I bet he would know.
There you go. I will say I'm going to look it up, and then I'm going to forget.
So Heatwave, you know, he's saying, you know, we're going to have to go. We're not going to do this by the book. We're going to have to come up with something a little unusual, and so that means Hoist and also Hotshot and Whirl making ice.
Yes, to make it slippery so they can pull the ice cream truck.
Yes. And so they save Jerry, and he was like, listen, I learned it by watching you.
Aww. Also, Jerry calls Hotshot Hot Potato.
Yes. Because he's bad at names, and it's not a bit.
No.
So yeah, that is those are our episodes for today. This was a fun pair of episodes. I like it when we're interacting with weird alien creatures, and I like when we mix up the formula a little.
Yeah,
they're both cute little premises for episodes.
Both solid.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the little alien rock with its little feet. One of my notes actually is just in all caps: "It's got feet." So that brought me some amount of joy.
These are two little good premises that wouldn't carry an entire full-length episode on their own. They'd have to be, like, half of an episode.
You'd need a B-plot of some sort.
Or this, like, could be the B-plot.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, we've got this alien rock on the loose, and also it's a couple of the Griffin Rock's crime druids are attempting to steal it.
Yeah.
Something.
All right, but of course we'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Facebook, we are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net. where hopefully this week David and I will get a chance to do a news pod where he can just make me feel bad about not getting to go to TFCon.
Yeah.
And we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly Patreon specials. For last month, we did Captain America Brave New World, because we do like to save the big blockbuster movies until they hit streaming. And for this month, something we like to do while we wait for those big blockbuster movies to hit streaming is we like to do a fun little tie-in, maybe something else the character appeared in, or a cartoon or some other fun thing. So I dug out my archives to find us an episode of the 2008 Legion of Superheroes cartoon starring Superboy, I mean Superman, who could not be called Superman or could not be called Superboy for some sort of nebulous legal reasons.
What? Wasn't that a reason for in the comics or something, not the cartoon?
We'll discuss this in some detail on the episode.
Okay. Yes, it's a
whole story.
Let's
just say there are a couple of reasons.
Yes, but we will be watching an episode. Not only did Transformers Animated art director Derek Wyatt work on this, but also I picked an episode by Marty Eisenberg. So we get some Transformers tie-ins for this. We have also all seen Superman at this point, and we are enjoying it. So we might have to, if we can squeeze it in somewhere, we might have to do a fun little side episode for that. But I mean, at the very least, that can be our episode for the month that comes on streaming, because everybody enjoyed it and it was a lot of fun.
Because but I want to talk about it now.
Because, of course, the next month, I've already got a Fantastic Four episode lined up to inflict on my co-hosts.
Yes.
Oh, no. You know how that 90s Fantastic Four cartoon had, like, the first season was bad and the second season was not good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, the second season was better. Guess which season I've picked an episode from.
Ooh, is it the first season?
Oh, it sure is.
Yay! Oh, the 90s, man.
There is a theme song, and yes, I will be singing it.
Did it have lyrics? Because 90s, they didn't always.
Oh, it has lyrics.
Though sometimes they had too many lyrics, like the Defenders of the Earth cartoon.
Oh, it's got a lot of lyrics, and they are very much of the, we're going to explain the premise of the show.
As you did, that kind of died off.
Reed Richards is elastic.
Did they have Stan Lee do the lyrics like they did with the Defenders of the Earth cartoon?
Johnny is the human torch, and the thing just loves to fight. But Stan Lee did, like, intros for the show, and it was on the Marvel Action Hour, so I would not be shocked if he wrote the lyrics to this.
I could see that. If there are definitely too many lyrics and they just explain the premise, that sounds about right.
We gotta go do Defenders of the Earth one of these days.
We should.
Next time they put out a Phantom movie, I guess.
Yeah, so...
Which probably never.
Never.
Billy Zane's still waiting by that phone.
But yes, those are always a whole lot of fun. Patreon.com/IaconUnderground. And you get access to all of our previous episodes, too. We can't do ad-free episodes because we don't do ads. Because
that's true.
I mean, I guess we could, but why would we do that?
Yeah. Nobody wants me to tell you about, I don't know, MeUndies or I don't know what's advertising on podcasts these days. BetterHelp.
I'm just going to start getting advertising because I need some extra mattresses. Because, boy, there's lots of mattress ads. Oh. And they just, I guess, send you a sample. I could just have my whole house full of mattresses. It'd be great.
All right, well, join us next week for more Rescue Bots when we encounter some more weird aliens. But these ones are from... these ones are from the depths of Transformers canon.
Oh, man.
Plus, we've also got a special guest star.
Cool. I'm not going to look it up. I will let myself be unspoiled.
Well, it will be spoiled, in fact, by the title of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Because the episode title is called Be Prepared.
Oh.
Aha.
So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. Ooh, the Preparoid is back.
Preparoid?
No, I'm just making some shit up because, of course, it's B.